Okay, hello. Previously, we were talking about a lot of critique stuff, giving it, receiving it, etc. And we started to gravitate into the subject of how that works from just the point of view of a child when you're sort of just crafting an idea and the imagination of a kid versus an adult. So we had to cut things off there because it was there was so much to talk about with that. Because you're talking about how when crafting a story as an adult, there is so much more you can do just because you've had more life experience. And I was like, oh, hang on. Well, as a kid, there's just more imagination and more just flourishes that you can. I felt more free to just go completely out of the ordinary. And in order to do that now, I need to sort of tap into childlike senses. Sometimes even go look at old artwork and remember what was I thinking when I drew that.
Like the other day, I watched a video and the ending was very obvious to me. And everyone else in the comments who was much younger than I was very surprised. And I was like, but this is so obvious. It's such an obvious ending. So it's like you said, but as an adult, you have, I guess you would say, as an adult, you have wisdom, but you also have a lot of fear. Fear of like not being good enough and not doing well enough. And as a kid, you don't care. You just want to make something cool. And it doesn't matter if everybody else has done the exact same thing. It does not matter to you.
So also similar to what we were talking about before, as an adult, there's a lot more of a stricter sense of what is right and wrong, even to subjective matters. So it's harder to break out of those bounds and have really, really crazy, outlandish things. Like as a kid, the sort of like creatures that I would draw were just very all over the place and just not conform to anything else that exists. But now I need to very consciously break out of, the form of, like, oh, two arms, two legs, spine, that kind of thing.
Well, that would be so hard to do. And it's really interesting that you bring up, let's talk about like creature creation as an example. So, as an adult artist, a lot of what you do is informed by reality in some way. So, the weird part though is that, so we're talking about like from a child's perspective, you could draw whatever. I have all these crazy drawings that I probably would never think to make now because it has nothing to do with anatomy or accuracy or being lifelike or any of that stuff. It's just like, oh, look, here's like the fluffy puff thing with two eyes
Right.
and it's got like
Oh.
some tails and stuff. But the offshoot of that is people who do creature creation or like creature designers as a job have so much knowledge, just this vast amount of content that the stuff they create is equally bizarre and weird. But it still has, still feels real, right? It feels real.
Oh yeah, because they know how like how do the muscles work underneath this strange thing? They can base it enough in reality, but still have enough balance of imagination to have the best marriage of those two worlds. That's quite interesting. Well, also with like the self-critique thing, like as an adult drawing, it's very hard to be free, I guess. Like as I'm drawing, be like, oh no, that's not right. Oh, that could be better. And like just. We'll just like sort of analyze everything.
Yes, it's like you gotta sit there and analyze it and like how will this be received and is this following the principles, da da da, right?
Yeah, so when I look at things that were drawn as an adult from like 5 years ago or so, those are very cringeworthy now because they were drawn with the mindset of trying to get it right and not succeeding. But when looking at something from like late primary school, early high school, those are objectively terrible. Of course they are. But when I look at them, I don't see that. I don't be like, oh, the anatomy is broken. Oh, there's no perspective. I just think like, yeah, robots, explosions. Yeah, like I immediately go back to the mindset that I had as I was drawing it. It's almost like there was some sort of like in a bit of soul injected into that. Not thinking about construction and how to make thing, but just being so immersed in the world I was drawing, and the result was just what spewed out the end of the pencil.
I'm so glad that I have a lot of the artwork. In fact, almost all of the artwork that I did when I was little. And recently, some of that came back to me. So this was a surprise. So my grandmother passed away last year, and over Christmas, I was at home and my mother had some documents that I still hadn't gotten or whatever. So I was going through them, and that one of these folders, it was like the best gift I could ever have. I opened it up and it was all this old artwork I have not seen in 25 years. And
damn,
like, it was, oh my gosh, I have this thing, I have my first original character that I ever drew, and I thought it didn't exist anymore. I thought, like, I don't know what happened to it, but I can't find it. So it's Tiger Dragon, and it's, like, there, it's real, I still have it. So my grandmother had all this artwork, and that I had made for her, give it to her and stuff, and I hadn't even looked at it in forever. And some of it I don't even remember making, but I know it's mine, because you could tell. Just by looking.
I was wondering how much you would remember or not.
When I saw the tiger dragon picture, it was funny because in my head, like, I sort of had an image of what I thought it looked like. But when I actually had it in front of me, it was so different from what I had remembered. So it's funny how time sort of distorts things.
Were you disappointed?
No. No, I was just surprised. Like, the colors were, there was blue in it. It was like orange and blue and... I wasn't disappointed. I was just surprised at how unexpected things were, like the color choices and the...
It's hard to remember to draw for fun sometimes, like, especially because, like, I'm surrounded by so many people who are way better than me.
I know.
it's a great motivator to want to improve. It's because, like, I need to be in order to ever dream of being within the same sort of bracket. But I can't let that take away the fun. And sometimes I do need to go back and deliberately draw like a child just to try and remember what that felt like. And then take those emotions and inject it into something with the knowledge of an adult.
This sounds like a fun exercise to try to, like, draw for fun. I guess draw with the mind of a child.
Well, yeah, I do it. I do it for animations all the time. I definitely would have told you about how I do it for animations because that's...
I've never heard of this.
Well, it's what I call moots.
Oh, okay.
It's what we named the whole thing after.
No, I didn't realize that was part of the moots. I mean, that, like, short little animations, I thought that was just, make a little animation, but not to try and make a drawing just without any of the restrictions you normally place on yourself and without trying to be good. Right.
Well, it was one of the things that spawned it, because all of the animations that would take place as a, you know, very young person, like in the corner of a workbook in a book of post-it notes, or just with the default brush tool in Flash when F6 was the only button that you knew how to use. I'd make like 3 or 4 animations in like half an hour. Because it was just like stick figure, next frame. And it would be like 20 frames of like, them jumping off a diving board and they're going splat on the ground. And many years later, and then thinking like, oh man, I spent like 6 months on this animation. I remember when I used to be able to do like 5 in half an hour. I was so much faster back then. You know, it wasn't. But it felt like that. Because even those tiny projects were still somehow memorable. So one of the things that spawned what moots became was, well, if I can only animate for an hour, then I have to forget all the rules and I just have to draw like a dumb stick figure and have movement and do whatever is fun. And then it's just done. And sometimes it would be like, okay, I'm just going to animate a dumb thing in 5 minutes. And then the other 55 minutes would be adding all the bells and whistles. Would be like, oh, well, you know, I can give it a couple in-betweens. Oh, I can give it a bit of squash and stretch. Oh, I might as well give it, color it in while I'm here. Oh, well, you know, if I just plug in these couple of nodes, then I can make it glow and have drop shadow and all this, you know, have it running through a rain particle effect generator. So the same sort of mindset of that sort of playfulness does come back with the knowledge of all these advanced tools and techniques. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I feel kind of, I don't know, sad, but also happy at the same time, because I hardly ever do that. I'm very serious about, am I? It's funny because people now, when they meet me, I don't strike them as being a very serious person. When I was younger, I always struck people as being older than I actually was and a very serious child, right? So it's sort of like I'm growing down instead of growing up. But I feel like with all the artwork, I'm always very paranoid about how it turns out, how it looks. You know, I'm very critical and hard on myself. I still post it and I get it out there, but, you know, and I don't talk. I generally do not diss my own artwork or talk down about it in front of other people. That's because I just sort of bothers me when I see artists always doing that, like posting this really great painting and saying, oh, man, this is horrible, blah, blah, blah. So I don't do that. But I'm always thinking it.
You do have a large audience of people who look up to you, so I can imagine that. Like being worried what they would think, but then also not critiquing it yourself. Well, you know, a lot of people are going to see it if you post something and it's like, oh.
I hate to say it, but it's not like, you know, I don't have fun with it anymore.
Right.
I'm always sort of stifled by this concern with how it's going to turn out.
Well, we talked earlier about the idea of a warm-up to start the day and how you've never really done that.
Yeah, I generally don't. I get right into it.
Maybe this would be... something that could be that.
Yeah, that's, I have a couple friends who do it that way. They'll draw, to do serious, and then draw some really stupid butt pictures or whatever. And yeah, I think people know who I'm talking about, but...
If you have no problem getting started of a morning, maybe a cool down is a better option.
Yeah, it's interesting.
A way to wrap up the day, just be like, okay, I've been in serious business mode all day, time to draw some butts.
Yeah, oh man, but it's just... This, again, it all comes down to the time thing because you gotta make time for it.
I've been surprised at how easy that time is to find when you keep an eye out for it. So, like, the servers at my last job were super slow a lot of the time. So when saving, it could beach ball for, like, 30 seconds. So this would happen quite a bit. So I'd keep a second document open on the side, and whenever there were little bouts of 10 to 20 seconds of waiting, I would just quickly add a little bit to a really, like, goofy animation. And I was surprised that, like because they're, like, it's super, super rough, but, like, I could get, like, a 15-second thing out in a day.
That's insane.
Just through those tiny little bits of nothing. But also just being like, oh, I need a, you know, a two-minute break or whatever. Draw something silly. And our like the like work chat, it was almost completely filled with people angrily animating the spinning beach ball. Because they're so in the zone, and then it, you know, sort of crashed. So they would often like edit the beach ball like into shots. Like if there was like a character being angry, they were being angry at the beach ball. It was very amusing. I've been meaning to bring up some of those and show them off in a video.
The little doodles or the quick animations, the moots?
The quick animations, but also, like, just the whole, let's stick the camera into a large box of childhood stuff and react to it.
Oh, you've done that a couple times for, like, nostalgia videos. You did a couple of those for kind of filler content.
I did. Those were more about just old possessions, not old drawings. Because I want to have a bit more planning behind that, like do it somewhat linearly or focus in on the life cycle of a particular project. One thing that was a bit of a downer going through the boxes was how much I tend to just draw the same thing over and over again. Did you ever struggle with that?
No, actually. That's pretty interesting. So in what way... did you draw the same thing over and over again? I'm curious.
Like, I'd sort of just, like, maybe it was, like, fan art for a particular franchise, just draw that character over and over again. Or even for a personal project, that would sort of just be drawing the main characters over and over again, sometimes in similar poses. It's, you know, like...
Huh.
I think back then, I was probably more anxious of trying new things, breaking out and risking failure, probably even more so than I am now.
That's fascinating.
Because back then, I was the only kid in my town who drew, so I sort of had that reputation of...
Are you kidding? Where'd you grow up in a town of 15 people?
It was very, like, football, surf culture. I kind of had that reputation of the kid who draws, and if there was any chance of like of sabotaging that reputation, I wasn't going to deal with it. So the downside of that, it means I never received any kind of critique at all until I was about 17, and I spent all weekend on this background, and I was like really proud of it, and then I showed it to my art teacher for this short I was making, and she just obliterated it, like. It was such heavy scorn, and it just broke me as a human. But it was probably like the single most important moment of my entire like journey so far.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Give me the whole moment then. I'd like to hear more about it. What was the background? What were some of the things she said? Do you remember that much?
I can see all the things she pointed out now. You know, it was things like, there was like a chandelier thing hanging off the ceiling, right? We're looking up at the ceiling, but we were looking down at the chandelier for some reason. You know, like the perspective had no rules.
That's weird. That's crazy.
Because I'd spent all weekend painting this thing, but I was completely zoomed in the whole time, painting each piece. And I never really zoomed out and analyzed the whole thing to make sure it actually worked. But my reaction to it is probably like a solid 3 or 4 days of just saltiness.
That's not surprising.
So, you know, sort of similar to what we were talking about last week, just having an attitude about it, being like, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Because, you know, I was just butthurt that I spent so much effort on something that amounted to nothing.
And you're a teenager. And that's the first time you'd ever really had critiques. So, of course, that made a lot of sense. Reaction.
Yeah. So it's just like, oh, all of this was just a waste of time. But it was probably the most valuable experiences I've ever had. Like, I learned so much about not just improving a thing, but just being able to keep an eye out for stuff and being able to take risks at all. Because it wasn't really up until that year that I dared trying out any other styles or, like, I never used construction lines at all up until that year. Because I felt I didn't need them.
Yeah.
Which is really stupid.
Okay, yeah, so that's a funny similarity. So, because when I was drawing, even up into college, since I didn't go to college for art, I went to college, but I didn't go to college for art. Anyway, no, I didn't use construction lines. I didn't use storyboards when I first started animating. And I had the same kind of attitude, which is, well, I don't need them. But now, I don't know how it happened. Somehow I ended up using them, right? Like, it just makes the pain less. Well, you put down a circle and a crosshatch, and that helps you get the perspective for the character down. So
now I find out if there's a program, a tool, or a technique that I've never used before. I just want to try it out to see what I'm missing out on.
And I'm always experimenting with styles. And I sent you this comic that you read through the other day.
I did.
What was it called? The Secret to Being a Great Artist? Something like that.
Yeah. The bit that really spoke out to me there was when the character was like, you know, putting in all this effort and getting slammed for it. And the guy was like, well, are you having fun? It's like, what are you talking about? Well, go have fun. And then the next page was, you know, her drawing with like a young nephew or something like that. And they're just like adding stuff that makes no sense, but because they're enjoying it. And I was like, ah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So it's funny reflecting on it here, because I was like, what are these emotions? Because, okay, yes, I don't look back at scorn at the individual drawings and, you know, the technique and all of the detail that we talk about now. But as a body of work, as a collection of all of it, in that I probably am rather disappointed just because of how narrow my range was. You know, there were so many years where I had so much time just to muck around, but I didn't explore very much. You know, it's like, oh, I'm interested in this, and then I just sort of just drew that a lot. And it's something that I spent a bit of time as like a cartooning teacher for kids. It was just like a bit of a fun thing just to, oh, you know, let's enjoy being creative, etc. But that was something I would try to beat out of students early if they had like a sketchbook that was just full of the same character over and over and over again. I was like, okay, that one character looks cool, but why just do them over and over again? What are you afraid of? So at the end of the year, seeing them sort of come out of their shell and being able to draw anything, that was super cool.
That's awesome. And that goes back to what I was going to bring up with the comic, which is that there's a panel in there where he says, she brings back the piece of art and he says, wow, this is actually good. And he says, that's not good enough. If you're not drawing bad work, it means you're not challenging yourself. So if you're making a piece of art that's good, it means you're not learning anything because you can already do that. So it's the same with someone who draws the same thing over and over. That's how you get good at drawing that particular thing, is to do it over and over and over. But that keeps you limited.
So to wrap all this together with warm-ups and deliberately not being very good or whatever, I'm really needing to practice organic effects, you know, lightning, smoke, fire, those kind of animations, because they sort of break all the regular rules. You can't really have, you know, squash and stretch to a lightning, a tweening fire.
Isn't very
practical.
Can you?
You can't like rig smoke per se. Like I suppose there's methods, but the people who are the best at this stuff are the ones who just feel it. Like they just throw themselves in and just make fire happen. I'm like, you bastards. It seems like the only way to really get a feel for it is just mileage.
I feel like a lot of art and animation is that way. Is animation especially, because it's animation isn't about art. It's about movement. So unless you've done it a bunch, you have to get a sense for how the timing of things is and how the movement works. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true to every craft. But things with like, you know, there's the 12 principles and things. There are techniques and tools that you can deliberately incorporate and you'll see an improvement right away. I'm sure there's the same thing for organic effects, but I haven't really found those yet. And whenever I tried to improvise some or read about some and gave it a go, it took away from a lot of the organicness.
Because that's the word you're using, organic. It has to be spontaneous, which means...
Exactly. If you're having something like flowing in the breeze, but you had a method for how the wind worked, suddenly it looks like a, you know, like a graphic. It's moving in a very rigid, symmetrical way. It doesn't have life and flair anymore. So I really need to figure out what that is. So that's what my warm-ups are going to be for a while.
And you're reading a book about this too. What's the book for the effects animation stuff?
Elemental Magic.
Okay, yeah.
It's very good. I'm not very far yet, though. It's quite wordy. And I'm just kind of like, just teach me the techniques.
Yeah, I need a copy of that.
Oh, that's what we were going to talk about. We were going to talk about how I really gravitate towards the survival kit because it's all like diagrams and flowcharts and things. And you were like, oh, gross. No, give me paragraphs. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, give me the text. Because, again, I don't know. I learn by actually doing it and failing.
That's the next episode for sure. I need to get to the bottom of what is going on with your head.
But what? Okay, I guess we just have different learning styles. So I guess learning styles.
Probably. Maybe you're just weird.
You're calling me weird?
Maybe I'm just weird. Well, tune in next week and we'll get into the bottom of this mystery.